why did Charles Darwin work just 4 hours daily while revolutionizing science? How did Winston Churchill lead Britain through WW2 while taking daily naps? These weren't signs of laziness, but deliberate strategies fueling extraordinary achievements. History's most accomplished figures share a counterintuitive secret. They worked less, but accomplished more through strategic rest. This revelation challenges our always-on culture with compelling evidence that rest isn't work's opposite, but its essential partner. Our modern glorification of busyness, checking emails at dinner, responding to Slack messages in bed, has created an epidemic of burnout while actually reducing creative output. Before the Industrial Revolution, work patterns followed natural rhythms and task completion rather than rigid schedules. Today's knowledge workers face a cruel irony. We're rewarded not for productivity, but for performing busyness, while the quality of our thinking suffers. What if the path to our best work isn't working more, but working less and resting better? Examine the daily schedules of history's most brilliant minds, and a striking pattern emerges. They organized their lives around work, but typically spent only 3 to 5 hours daily on their most important contributions. Top Berlin Music Conservatory students practiced intensively for about 4 hours daily in focused 80-90-minute sessions with breaks between. They slept an hour more than average students, took afternoon naps, and accurately tracked their leisure time, about 25 hours weekly. This pattern repeats across disciplines. Mathematician G.H. Hardy worked limited hours before spending afternoons walking and playing tennis. Charles Dickens wrote methodically for fixed morning periods. Why 4 hours? Psychologist Anders Ericsson's research on deliberate practice provides insight. The deep, focused work that produces breakthroughs is mentally demanding and can only be sustained for limited periods before quality deteriorates. Beyond 4 hours, diminishing returns set in rapidly. The most productive creatives typically work in the morning when willpower and focus are highest, creating protected time blocks free from interruption. They work intensely during these periods, then deliberately stop, often mid-task. This contradicts our cultural mythology that breakthroughs come from manic all-nighters. Instead, sustainable creativity emerges from rhythmic alternation between focused work and genuine recovery. When LinkedIn CEO Jeff Weiner needs to focus on a single topic amid fragmented days, he walks. Steve Jobs used walks to win over reluctant allies, while Mark Zuckerberg walks with prized recruits. History's most consequential walking meeting occurred in 1938 when Howard Florey and Ernst Chain decided to develop penicillin while strolling through Oxford, eventually saving countless lives and earning a Nobel Prize. Werner Heisenberg conceived the uncertainty principle during a Copenhagen walk. Erna Rubik designed his famous cube after observing water turbulence while walking by the Danube. Stanford researchers scientifically confirmed walking's creative benefits through controlled experiments, finding it improved divergent thinking, generating multiple solutions, by an astonishing 81% compared to sitting. Surprisingly, walking on a treadmill facing a blank wall was just as effective as walking outdoors, suggesting the physical act itself, not the environment, stimulates creativity. Walking works through multiple mechanisms: increased blood flow to the brain, synchronization of brain hemispheres through bilateral movement, and activation of the default mode network, responsible for novel connections between ideas. Creative walkers often carry notebooks. Tchaikovsky and Beethoven jotted musical ideas during forest walks. Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote Hamilton lyrics during Sunday strolls. The beauty of this creativity tool? It requires only comfortable shoes and the decision to step away from your desk. Ernest Hemingway advised, "Always stop when you're going good and when you know what will happen next." This deliberate stopping makes restarting easier, maintains productive rhythm, and allows your subconscious to process work during breaks. Writers like Roald Dahl and Salman Rushdie intentionally left work unfinished to avoid blank pages, while Neal Stephenson learned to stop mid-thought, leaving something in the buffer for the next day. Sleep is the ultimate form of deliberate rest, more vital than commonly understood. During deep sleep, growth hormone repairs cells and fights infections, while REM sleep generates myelin for neural function. Mikan Niedergaard's research showed how sleep allows the brain to clear toxins. Glial cells shrink, creating channels for cerebrospinal fluid to remove waste products like beta amyloid. Different sleep stages process specific types of memories. REM sleep handles visual and emotional memories, while slow-wave sleep consolidates factual ones. Even brief naps enhance performance, as NASA researcher Mark Rosenkind found in studying pilots. During Operation Torch in 1942, Eisenhower used Telegraph Cottage as a sanctuary from his demanding schedule and insomnia, likely preventing burnout. Research by sociologist Sabine Sonnentag shows workers who mentally disconnect are more productive and achieve better flow states. Effective recovery requires relaxation, control over time, mastery experiences, and psychological detachment from work. Studies reveal 71% of regular vacationers report job satisfaction compared to 17% of those who don't take breaks. Even military reservists return from service less burned out, as the change provides detachment from routine stresses. While vacations spark creativity, their benefits fade after 4 weeks. Shorter, frequent breaks every few months prove more effective than one annual vacation. As researcher Jessica DeBloom notes, vacations are like sleep. You need to take them regularly to benefit. Quality matters as much as quantity. True recovery requires both psychological detachment and engaging in different types of challenges. A 20-year UCLA study of promising scientists revealed a striking pattern. The most successful ones were dedicated athletes. This finding echoes through history, with Nobel laureates like Niels Bohr, Marie Curie, and John Bardeen excelling in sports alongside their scientific pursuits. Cambridge's 19th-century tutors formalized this connection, prescribing exercise as essential for academic excellence. Modern research validates this link. Exercise enhances brain structure and function, increases brain volume, and stimulates neurogenesis through proteins like BDNF. Studies show runners develop twice as many hippocampal neurons as sedentary individuals. Exercise benefits creative work through multiple pathways: improved oxygen delivery to the brain, enhanced physical stamina for sustained focus, and greater stress resilience. Even chess grandmasters now incorporate rigorous physical training, recognizing its role in maintaining mental endurance. Lindsay Lawler's 18-foot electric giraffe robot exemplifies deep play, activities that are inherently rewarding while carrying deeper meaning. Unlike shallow entertainment, deep play develops transferable skills and reveals character through four features: effortless mental absorption, application of work skills in new contexts, work-like satisfaction with clearer rewards, and connections to one's past. Physicist Albert Michelson found restoration in billiards after a nervous breakdown, while Winston Churchill turned to painting after the Gallipoli disaster. Churchill argued that busy people need new interests engaging different mental faculties, not just rest. For scientists like neuroscientist Christoph Koch, mountain climbing serves as meditative deep play, demanding such focus that internal dialogue ceases. Sometimes deep play evolves into significant achievements. J.R.R. Tolkien's invented languages grew into The Hobbit through stories told to his children. For creative individuals, deep play complements work by expressing core interests in new ways.